This is Joan Weaver, and I'm at the Kinsley Library. And it is, I don't know, August 19th, is that? Yeah, August 19th, 2024. And I'm going to be talking with Fred Fatzer today, sometimes better known as Freddie Johnson. Okay, Fred, we'll start with your
But
parents.
yeah, my mother and father,
And what were their
well, the
names?
Diana Johnston was my mother, Diana Frances Johnston, and my father was Kenneth Fotzer, and his family was from near Fellsburg. They settled south of Fellsburg, and that's where I first lived when I was born in Larned. And my parents lived just northwest of Fellsburg, a couple of miles on a piece of land still called the Darby Place. We went up to the city. We went to the city hall a couple of days ago to find the deeds, and I found, the record of him buying that
Were they
land.
married here? I was
I don't
thinking
know where they were
we
married.
might look later and see if we have their wedding, their
That's a
marriage
good
records,
question.
because we I have the records or the originals.
That's a good question. I don't know why I was married. Why? I don't know I was married anyway. But I don't know why I do. You get married because you fall in love. But no, I don't know why I was born in Larned, but I was. It must have
Well,
been
maybe a
something to do.
hospital, maybe.
Could have been this. You had to go to the hospital. I know that I first moved to that house northwest of Fellsburg. And that I have there's photos from that time. We just went there the other day to see it, and I foolishly thought there would be something there. And there's just a wellhead sticking out of the ground with some weeds around it and flat
Wheat,
farmland.
yeah.
It's just dry land wheat, yeah. So that's where I first lived, and then I moved to Kinsley when we were I don't know, 4 or 5, it seems like. My parents got divorced. Maybe I was 6. I don't really know the exact number, but I was living with my mother here in Kinsley.
Where did you live here in Kinsley?
We had a small house across from the hospital, the old hospital.
Okay.
I know because I just drove by it the other day. 806 East 4th. It's still there. And then we moved to a house over here on Colony, one house in from the big house, the Klein's house,
Okay.
which was the Fox house, and we had a small house near next door, but that's gone now. And then when I was 7, and then I left Kinsley when I was 7, and lived with my father in various places, and then came back to live with my mother at the age of 14 here in Kinsley.
So you were gone for 7 years.
Yes.
What did your father do?
He was a well, he was trained as a geologist at K-State, and I think he did work in oil and gas, but then he's mainly a farmer because my grandfather Elmer Fotzer had a lot of land near Fellsburg, so he was a farmer.
Any oil on the land?
There was, I think there was some. I know when Elmer died, we had mineral rights to some stuff. Honestly, it never produced any money.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a farmer,
So were
basically.
you around Kansas or were you out of the state when you were living with him or?
We lived with my grandparents for a while in Fellsburg. And then my grandparents moved to Arizona. And we went there with them. So we were there for a couple of years. And then my father was living in, it's got to be, lived in Florida. Trying to really remember it. And then at the age of maybe 13 or 12, we came back to Maxville, or Belpre, I'm sorry, Belpre.
Belfry.
And I went to Maxville School. And from there, I came back to Kinsley. It was a, my mother, she got custody of us. And so we came to Kinsley.
Oh, I guess we didn't mention you had brothers and sisters
Oh,
or.
I'm sorry, the we, yeah, my brother Steve, who's 2 years younger, we were always together. I have a sister, Brenda, who's 5 years older, and she stayed with my mother. And I have a half brother, Brian, who was born much later, 10 years younger than me. But my brother Steve and I came back to Kinsley from Belpre when I was 14, and Steve was 12, and we started school here. And I went to Offaly Junior High, and then went to KHS and graduated, and moved away.
1979.
79, I went to KU for one semester.
So as a kid, did you spend much time on the farm or not?
Well, yeah, I remember it, up to the age of 7, what I can remember. But between 7 and 14, I was never near a
There.
farm, really. I guess I take that back. No, I take that back. I do. When we moved back to Belpre, I was old enough to do some farm work of some
Farm
kind,
work.
just a little bit. I believe I was driving tractor at a pretty young age,
Yeah,
you know.
that would be
No,
typical.
no umbrella, no radio, no AC, no nothing, just whatever. And I did some farm work when I was younger, but not when I was older. Once I moved back to Kinsley at the age of 14, I painted houses with Jim Coover. That was
Oh.
my job. Did that for a few years, a couple of years, whatever it was. That was my income, my spending money that I spent all on guitars and the stereo gear.
Okay, so what do you remember about high school?
Well, high school was great for me. It was a real change going from living with my father to living with my mother and her husband, Bob Bradford. It was we had to adjust. And it was a good adjustment. It was kind of, well, it was difficult at first, but we adjusted. And so high school was good for me. I really enjoyed being with my mother, she's a good cook and stuff. It was good to
Were you involved in music at all in high school?
Well, strangely, not really. My brother was the musician. He was a trumpeter, and he bought a guitar also. Anyway, he was a trained musician, and I just liked music, but I never played it until I was about 16 or so. I bought a guitar through the mail and started playing, and did my first song with Jeff Atwood at the class night at KHS High School in, I don't know, 79 or 78. That
I
was
hear
my.
those class nights are a lot of fun. They don't do those anymore.
It's sad. It was really fun. It probably went on too long, but we had a great time, and I liked high school a lot. I had a good time. I enjoyed math and art classes and
You
stuff.
liked art. I did.
Yeah,
I did see when you went to KU, you
that's
were
all I
taking
did.
art,
That's
right?
all I did. Yeah, I went one semester, and I was in the. I did took painting classes. I wanted to be an artist, but I just didn't know what I was going to do, so I just dropped out of school and stayed in Lawrence. And...
Well, I thought that was interesting when you're here in town making a mural now.
Yes.
Have you done any art in between KU and
Well,
here?
that's fun. I kept doing art after KU for a while in Lawrence. I did sort of abstract paintings.
Oil?
No, I never was brave enough to use oil paint. I always use acrylic paint because I was afraid of not drying it in time. I use oil now, actually. But I did that for a while, and then I got into music. And I in Lawrence, I started writing songs. I had a band, and I then moved to New York and did that.
Well, let's go back to high school. But did you like English and poetry and that
No, I
sort of
really
thing?
did. I remember it very,
Did you
very.
have Dr.
Dr.
Boehm?
Boehm was
He was there.
he was there. He was my instructor for the senior year, maybe, but for a junior sophomore, there was Mr. Schultz, whose wife was also the typing teacher. But he was a very intense, very intelligent guy who really changed. He was a very influential person in my life. He gave us things to read that were. Difficult for somebody that age, but I always thought about him as being someone who, was a first introduction to literature and art and the art of literature is what I mean, And then my art teacher was Mr. Mock, who was a great guy,
Yeah, I taught there for a couple years and I taught with
Oh,
both
did
of
you?
them.
Oh yeah, Sally Mock and John, they were really great people, and I was mainly into ceramics then.
Oh.
I didn't, but I still like to draw. And I just didn't have enough drive to make it my career. I liked music better. But now late in life, I've started painting again.
What do you like to paint now, still?
I paint figurative paintings, actual portraits, and I use water-based oils. So it's oil paint. It still takes a long time to dry, but there aren't the fumes. I don't even know what the science behind it, how they do that, because it's the same oil paint, but it doesn't have the fumes. So because I like the look of oil paint for much more. So I started about 6 or 7 years ago, I started painting again. And I use the grid method where on a piece of paper, it'll be like a 2 centimeter grid, and then make a 2 inch grid on the canvas. And so it looks pretty close, And so I do portraits of, I've done portraits of, I was trying to find faces to paint online because I didn't really know what to do. And I was drawn to the women from the 30s and 20s and 30, 20s, 30s, 40s from the Italian resistance, the French resistance, Dutch resistance women, and pilots. So I started a series of those. I'm only starting them, but they're like three, they're 36 inch square canvases.
Oh, that's interesting,
Yeah,
exciting that you picked that.
I really was drawn to their faces. And so I'm in the process of doing those as my first round of painting since school.
Have you written any music that incorporates their lives?
Not yet. That's a really good question, Joan. I think I may, because one of the women is named Shirley Slade, and her photo is very famous. It was on the cover of Life magazine. It's she was actually an American aviatrix in the, were they the WACS or so? Yeah, anyway, she was
She was the Air Force?
Air Force, and it's just this photo of her sitting on her plane staring out. And it's a great, great image. So I'm painting Shirley Slade, and I think I will someday write a song about Shirley Slade. That's a very good question.
Well, I was, sort of interested in, how, well, I was interested in how you think Kansas has influenced you, if it has. And it seems to. I've been reading, all your press releases, and you're always a Kansas boy, or you're from Kansas, or
Sure.
you, I mean, that's always in there.
Well, that's the hook, That's sadly what they have to do to sell you. They have to give you some identity. And so I was always the guy from Kansas, which was, it's fine with me. But certainly it had an effect on me being from here. Absolutely. My music is,
Well, and
not about Kansas so much, always, but ever, really ever, but certainly
well,
the
your
emotions of it.
songs, sometimes a sadness and a loneliness in it. And of course, the prairie is sort of lonely out there, but I didn't
Absolutely.
know.
I think that emotion comes through living in the small town in the middle of the US, and wanting to get away to the big city and make it big, basically. That's a common dream. Like the theme of the mural that we're doing, is well, it's not the theme, but the image of the town's famous song.
Well, I was thinking, I've done some I did a whole series of oral histories on the tractorcade, which is when you were
That was
here.
right when I left, I
Yeah,
think.
right. In the 1979, 1980.
I think I was here. I was here for that summer, but I don't really remember the tractorcade so much. I don't know if I missed
Well,
it.
they drove those tractors all the way to New York or to
To
Washington, D.C.
Washington, I guess I wasn't paying attention or something.
Kinsley wasn't as involved as Lewis.
Oh, okay.
Lewis was a
It was a real
driving force.
political statement, right?
Yeah,
Was it?
right. But it was a time, I was thinking then, when the farmers were going through such rough times at that time when you were in high school, trying to make a living and not getting enough money for what their product was. And there was a lot of suicide for farmers because they were losing their farms.
I can't even
They the
imagine.
banks, loaned them all this money for the equipment, and then they
I can't
couldn't do
imagine it, having feeling that you had to kill yourself because you couldn't face the shame or
it.
you could never pay it off.
Well, and I mean, that's interesting. I mean, that'd be something to talk about. These men had inherited their farms from their grandparents. parents, you know. And so I think that was part of it,
They
the
lost
feeling of
their
failure
home, yeah.
of doing that. And on the other hand, you took a risk. You want to tell us about that
Well,
with
I did
that?
the opposite. Because when my grandfather, Elmer Fotzer, died, I was already a musician making records in New York. And he granted or bequeathed some my original homeland, the Darby place down near Felsburg. He gave it to my brother and I, half and half, one half
How
of.
many acres would that have
I
been
don't
worth?
even know. It was probably, half a section or a quarter section. I just don't even know. 2/4 of land, maybe. And I don't know what to say about it other than that I did it and that I succeeded. We were talking about it yesterday. They're doing a doing this
Documentary.
documentary, and so they force not forcing me, but they're certainly asking a lot of questions about it, then that's what you're supposed to do. So I've had to talk about it quite a bit. And yes, I was, I'll say it, I was foolish. I sold the land because I needed the money to make a record. And it just sounds like just the dumbest kid in the world, to do that. Luckily, in my case, it paid off. But I've always been, a little ashamed of it, and except I'm glad that I succeeded, because I remember when I was selling the land, the assessor, who I never met, but I talked to him over the phone. He's like, "I don't understand why you're selling this land. Why would you sell land? It's like, can't you just get a, mortgage on the, and so I didn't really have an answer for him, But at the time, the land was dry land wheat, and maybe it still is, and I was being paid not to farm it,
Yeah.
it was in the
Government.
in the program, and so I don't know what to say about that. Other than, if I had failed, I wouldn't be talking to you, really, and
Well, that took a lot of courage, I think. And you may be young and foolish, but that's what young people do, you know.
yeah, I know, and that's what the guys in the documentary have been saying. Like, well, we see it as, you believing in yourself, and well, I must have, because I succeeded. A few years later, I was doing really well.
I wonder why you had that confidence in yourself.
I just, that's another thing I don't really I've been talking about. I don't know why, but I sure did. It was something that I just believed that, well, I can write songs like this, like as good as those guys, so I'm just gonna, keep doing this. And now I'm to the point now I'm, gonna be doing my 10th or 11th record, and I am, by now I can admit it, I'm a respected songwriter. And the origin of it just, seems a little dicey, but it doesn't matter since it worked out.
Well,
I just wouldn't advise it, And for my brother, it was a little bit of a thing, because when I sold my land, his hand was kind of forced, and he had to sell his as well in order to get a good price. And so I don't think he was, I know he wasn't happy about that, but we got the money for the land, and we weren't going to farm it. We were just going to be landlords anyway.
right.
But that's what happened, and I wrote a song about it, and on my first big record, and that's the myth. I sold the dirt to feed the band, and we went out there the other day to see it again, at the old Darby place it's called, and it wasn't there anymore. It's just a, it's like I said, it's just a wellhead.
Yeah.
And I picked up a half pound or so of the dirt and put it in a plastic bag. I have it out in the rental car there. I'm gonna take it home and plant something in it, So I think even after all this time, I'm becoming more attached to the town. With age, of course, and now this mural project has really reestablished those bonds. And I've been here for 2 weeks, and I've seen all these people from my life, and just realize what a deep connection I have to this town.
I just had another thought that flashed through my mind, in that your ancestors took a risk coming to Kansas, and living in a soddy or whatever, and you just took a different kind of
That's
risk.
really true, and that's very insightful point. That's another thing the guys pointed out. It's like, because if we're looking at an early photo of Felsburg, no trees, 1924, and it just looks like it got, it's like a train set, just like plopped down. And somebody says like, well, that looks about as speculative as you and your career, you know.
Yeah,
It's just like,
right.
let, you know, it's like, good luck on that, you know. And so that's true. It's a lot of like, well, we can do this.
So.
That happened, and I had to believe in myself, you know, or I wouldn't have done it. I
So
certainly did.
maybe some of it came through your genes.
I think it must have been, you know,
And
we're gonna do this thing, you know, that kind of attitude.
it's a challenge to live here, period, on the prairie, I think. It's not an
Well,
easy life.
now it's probably a lot easier. I know it was harder for the stories from my grandmother, which I don't know that they would have come from her grandmother, maybe even, but the first year that they came in a colony of people from Europe, I guess, you know, from Alsace region, and just showed up for their land grant, and for the first season lived in a dugout, right, and with a for the sod roof while they built the house, and that was kind of fascinating. I hope I'm remembering it right. You know, Corda talking about it. It might have been her daughter Phyllis talking about it, but that they would live in this dugout, and their grandma, their mom would make it really nice inside, like put gingham on the walls and have a wood floor, and like, you wouldn't know you weren't in a real house. It'd be kind of, you know, long and narrow like a trailer, but it worked out really well. And you're right, they dealt with it. They came here and just, you know, it was free land,
And they left where they were, and you left
and I
to go where
left.
they
No,
are.
that's true. Same thing. Yeah, I think that's a lot of what still goes on here. That's why the population dwindles, you know, because kids have to go somewhere
For a job.
if they want for a job, or if they have a career ambitions, you know. I mean, I must say, that's the way it is. I could if I'd stayed in Kinsley, I don't think I could have made records. You know, I would just the way it is. I mean, I might have been happy, but I wouldn't have been a musician, you know. Because I've met many people this week who've been here all the time, you know, and they're doing fine. But I wanted something that wasn't here, so I
Right.
had to go find it. Now, I lived in Lawrence, of course, first, but then on to New York, and
Quite a change.
it was really quite a change, definitely. But anybody adjusts fast, you know. People adjust quickly.
Well,
When
especially
you're
when
young,
you're
when you're when
young.
you're no, you when you're young, you just deal. And so, I was fine with it, you know, living in, you know, relative loneliness and kind of, you know, the 20-something poverty. You know, like, you're making some money, but just working a temp job as a typist and living in New York and writing songs, and just finally it pays off. And so, you know, I'm glad it paid off,
I'm glad too.
as it wouldn't have. I don't know what I would have done. I would have come back here maybe if it hadn't.
Well, it's what you were meant to do.
I think it was. By now I have to accept that. That it's at least a talent that I have that I converted, you know, into something. You know.
Well, I've been trying to think if there's anything else I had thought about here. I guess I'm going to ask you what do you want to tell about your career, your big break, or is this honest?
Well,
This is more now. Is
yeah,
it
I don't know. Yeah, what's really interesting, you know, about
or little stories? I
yeah.
know you.
No, I don't know. That's not really, you know, I moved to New York and I just played a bunch of gigs and I eventually got a record deal. That's kind of, it's a common story.
Well, what did you think
And
when the Rolling Stone called you up and wanted
well,
to
that was
do a
really.
two-page
No, I know. I wish I'd
spread
done a
on
better interview for that. That wasn't very good. But it's too late now. But it was a big deal. I will say this, that when I came back home, because I had a record out and it was on MTV. It was a video on MTV, and my mother really, well, I can back up. In high school, I bought a guitar through the mail, as I said. And my mother, Diana, was not happy with that. You know, I remember the morning that the UPS truck pulled up, and this guy pulled out a box, a trapezoidal box from the back of the truck, and it looked like a coffin to me. It was really ironic. And that was my guitar. And she said, "What's that?" And I said, "That's my new guitar." Said, "You spent your hard-earned painting money on a guitar." And so she was very upset about
What
it.
kind of guitar
It
was
was
it?
an Ovation, actually. And I only learned after my mother's death, which is really odd, that she was a musician.
Oh.
I never even knew at all. I mean, maybe Mary mentioned that, or maybe she didn't, but my mother was a very accomplished, she played by ear, but she's an accomplished organist and pianist, and was an unmatched whistler.
Oh.
And so I don't know what to say about that. Her attitude toward music was, me playing music, was not positive. So I don't know what that says, you know?
She worried about you making a
I
living.
think she saw that as just a not a good career choice at all.
Did you go to KU to sort of get out of here in a safe
Well,
way?
I think so. I think I went to KU like everybody in my class. If they could go to college, they wanted
Yeah.
to, just to get the heck
Out of town.
to, you know, or to a bigger town. A lot of them came back, of course. But it was a normal thing to do. I went to KU because when I graduated, my friends were going to KU. If other friends had been going somewhere, you know, and then some went to K-State, some went to KU. But my friend Jeff Atwood pretty much talked me into going to KU. I shouldn't lay that on him, but I just felt like, well, hey, Ann Frame's going to KU and Jeff's going to KU, so I'll go to KU, you know? I didn't really
And
know.
your mother probably approved of that.
She did. No, she wanted me to hit school, but then I dropped out. She wasn't happy with
Yeah.
that. I came back the next summer, you know, and I spent the summer after my whatever that, you know, after that, what would have been my first year in
So,
college, just living here and painting houses again, and realizing, man, I remember my sister not being very happy with me. She's like, "What are you doing here?" I mean, it's nice. I have to take that back. I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I remember Brenda wondering about me, and saying, "What are you doing? Maybe you should just go somewhere." And I did. I remember working out at the Dinequick. It was my last job. And I was smoking cigarettes, of course, because I'd come back from college.
everybody
I mean,
smokes cigarettes.
I just don't know what I was thinking. But I remember sitting out in the back of the Dinequick, looking at that sign and thinking, well, I've got some friends in New York. You know, they moved from Lawrence to New York, and maybe they'll put me up, you know? And so I did. I moved back to Lawrence for a little while and then went right to New York. In like the 81, 82, I think it was. Really, I went to New York twice. This is the first time I
First
went for
time.
9 months, and it was a real, man, I wasn't ready for it. I lived with these guys. We did moving jobs, and it was really just, it was a rougher New York then. And came right back to Kansas, fell on my face, and moved back to Lawrence. And then I was there for a few years in the mid-80s and had a great time. But then once again, got the bug in like 86 to go back for good to New York and start my life again, you know, try to make it as a musician. And I did.
That's another great story with the boy looking at that sign.
Yeah,
I don't know if
that's,
you've ever incorporated that in
well,
anything.
I wrote a song called, it's not even maybe a good song, but it's just, no, I shouldn't say that. It should be nice to my songs. I was just talking about in another interview, kind of personify my songs or something like that. I need be easy on them, you know, they're doing their best. But I did write a song called "The Sign Points Both Ways,"
Okay, I looked at that.
and then I wrote another song called "Wheels,"
Yes, that one I've
which
read
is
the
not really
lyrics.
about Kinsley, but it has to be because I'm from here. You know, it makes it sound like, you know, that I'm down on my hometown, but you know, it's just art. I don't think it's in any way thought that I, you know, dislike my town. I don't know what they thought, but it's a depressing song. I know that. But I never really wrote much about, I didn't write specifically about Kansas, but I agree that, you know, a lot of the themes and the tone of the songs is very lonely and wistful, and, you know.
Sometimes I think that's easier to write than happy.
Well, it's honestly, I think the answer is that those are the songs that people need most, you
Yeah,
know?
that could be too.
And it's, you end up, I end up writing songs when I'm sad, not when I'm happy. So it's like when you need the song, rather, you know.
You can add that to the mural, a little boy looking at the sign.
That's a good one. Well, you know, they put me up on the grain elevator. That's pretty
Oh,
fun.
yeah, because you took the picture up there.
Yeah, they've got me up there playing guitar, and then my dog Sparky is one of the carnival animals, and he's jumping up through the fog toward me. So I'm glad that that's there for posterity. This is just one of the biggest, well, certainly one of the biggest events in my life to do this mural. It really is. It's just these last 2 weeks have been life changing. I just don't
How
want
do you think it's going to change?
to. Well, I came. I not to be too personal, but I had a pretty bad summer. I broke up with my girlfriend, and it went really badly. And I'm moving out of Portland now. When I get back, and all my stuff's in storage, and I'm really depressed coming out here, and didn't know how it was going to go because I've never painted a mural. Luckily, I hired a veteran genius muralist named David Lowenstein, who's been painting murals about as long as I've been writing songs, like the early 90s. So talented. And he has, I don't want to put too much on him, but he's really turned me around the last couple of weeks. He's 5 years younger than me, not that that matters, but he's really taught me, first of all, a lot about mural painting. Because the method I described with the grid, the grid on the wall doesn't work. That's how I was going to do the mural myself, and I described it to my state rep. This is a state grant that I
This
got for.
was your idea. You went to them, or they went.
No, the well, what happened, just to back up a bit, I guess last March, I was fortunate enough to be invited to the Lieutenant Governor's office to play the first episode of his concert series in his office. Called the Large Desk, the LG Concert Series. It's modeled on another series that NPR had called the Tiny Desk Series, where people would come into their office and play. So he's starting his own. He has a big ornate desk in his office. So I was very honored to do the first one. It was a three camera PBS
How
shoot.
did you get picked for that?
He's a big fan. David Toland is a big music fan. He picked me. He knew I was in the area and said, "Well, free to come do this?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I will." And I walked in. I thought it was just gonna be I thought literally I was just gonna be playing to him in his chair. And I walked in, and it was like a full TV crew and an interviewer. I was really like, "What the heck is going on here?" But it went really well. It's not aired yet. It's gonna air soon. I think mine will be the first one. I'm really, really honored again. But after that, concert was done, he said, "I've heard that you paint." But you must have seen my Facebook and stuff. He said, "Yeah, I paint." "Well, we have a program where we offer grants to muralists to paint murals in Kansas small towns, because we found that somehow a mural has a great psychological effect on a city, much more than the money spent. It just has a great boosting effect." And so I said, he said, "You want to do one in Kinsley?" And I, just like the impetuousness of selling the land, I said, "Sure, let's do it." And so that was last March. And so for a couple of months, I was planning to do this mural via the grid method. And finally, Kayla Savage, my state rep, said, "Freddie, I think we need to get somebody on this deal," because I wasn't taking, it's a grant for a certain amount of money. And they said, "Well, how much are you taking for a fee?" I'm like, "Taking a fee? I'm paying in my hometown." She's like, "Well, everybody takes a fee." I said, "No, I'm not." And then she said, "Well, let's take that fee and hire somebody
Hire people,
real." And so that's how that happened. Yes, and so here we are now, months later. And like I said, between that time of playing with the lieutenant governor and coming here, I had a terrible breakup with my girlfriend and all this stuff, and I didn't know what to do, and I lost, put my stuff in storage, and I'm like, I said, "I don't even know if David, if I can come out and do this mural. I'm so down, But from the first day, that's when I said my life changed. I mean, I'll just be really honest. I'm a musician, so I usually, like these days, I would like. Take like cannabis gummies and stuff, and oil and stuff. I just totally stopped that, and I haven't even thought about it, and I don't know if I'll think about it again, honestly. It's just like a really, it's a great lightning of, from day one, Dave, I mean, I just felt like I'd known him for years. He's a very happy, calm guy, and the things he was showing me and teaching me, and the rendering that he produced, just kind of blew my mind. I came up with the concept. That's all. Just the general design. My idea was for a horizon, with the cities at either end, and Kinsey in the middle. And so my idea for that mural was quite simple and probably would have been okay.
No, this is
No, that's what I'm
good.
saying. You're right. It would have been okay, but not really real. And and the other irony is that I had my choice of buildings from around town. I was going to do the main station, that used to be the old Chat and Curl, because it's so visible to Highway 56. But then Kayla said, "Well, there's another building over there across from the bank that I understand your friend Thera Kingry or Thera Strait is opening up." And I said, "Across from the bank?" It's like, "You mean the old bivouac?" And said, "Well, I don't know what it was. I think it's the old bivouac." And my mother had given it a nickname. It went from the bivouac to the Rain Tree Lodge, I believe, lounge. The Rain Tree Lounge. I'm sure I'm getting this wrong, but someone can correct it. But it was called the Rain Tree. And my mother called it the Trouble Tree, because that was the only time there would be a police call. Bob was always in touch with, he knew about all that stuff because he knew all the city guys. There was a police call last night down at the Trouble Tree, only one of the week. And so I named my first record the Trouble Tree and my publishing company the Trouble Tree. And then I get the opportunity to paint a mural on the Trouble Tree. And so that full circle element of it really has been.
Too bad they didn't name it the Trouble Tree,
I just
the
really couldn't do that to them. Luckily, they're okay with me calling them that, ca calling it that, because it's the Midway Market now. It's a coffee shop. But so that's the full one. That's one of the first kind of serendipitous things that have happened around this mural, and that lifted me. I mean, I just feel very, very. It's a great gift, this project, and the people who are with me. Helping me, I just feel like I've been lifted out of the troubles of my life.
The community. And I don't know if it, and for me, being doing physical work, which that
Yes,
mural is out in that
it
blue
is
Kansas
physical work.
sky,
I've been working real
and
days, yeah.
yeah, that's a very healing.
It certainly is healing. It absolutely is, Joan. You hit it right on the head. The combination of the creative insights from Dave, the hard work in the sun, and the actual hands-on teaching that he's giving me about, okay, we're going to project this on the wall, Fred. You don't do a grid thing unless you want to spend 5 months doing it, and I get it. And he said, you want to keep the design very simple so that you can read it, your eye can read it from 30 feet away. And I my idea was like, oh no, you've got to be able to look right up at it like a Rembrandt painting. No, you'll never be done. So he's taught me that, and then also color mixing theory, which is really, really
Yeah, the
helpful.
colors are.
I kind of knew a little bit about it from school, but I'd forgotten most of it. And his pro tips in that regard are basically, I've learned how to do a mural, and I'm happy about that. I kind of want to do one next summer.
We've got a few more walls around here.
I want to do the main station because Caitlin Gleason. I met her for the. I met her. She's the 2024 recipient of the Freddie Johnston and Friends of the Arts Scholarship, which people don't believe. My friends don't believe that you don't have a scholarship. I mean, it's only like a few $100. But like, yeah, I do. Said, no, you don't. Anyway, I do. Yeah, it was really sweet. At least my name's on
We've
it.
given a little bit of money to quite a few kids.
It's really good. And I need to make more money so I can contribute myself. I can barely pay for my own way,
No, we don't have
but.
too many kids that go on to the arts, so.
Well, but there you go. Yeah,
She is.
and so she and she's a very talented illustrator. And so I've talked to my state rep, or just intimated to her, like, well, next summer, I'd like to come out and do a mural with Caitlin, and have her be the designer, and help her paint it and get. I'll take the grant, I'll take because even though I'm not taking any money, my name's still on the contract. It's kind of weird. Like I'm taking the. I'm the guy who would if something happened.
Well, did Thera have to get the grant though?
Well,
Because then it have to be a business or something with those
oh no,
grants.
they she already got a grant for her business,
Oh.
from a different
But they, but you as an individual, you
for
got a
me it was
grant.
just a separate thing.
Because I've had a grant from them. We did a musical about the
Oh, great.
Flegal gang robbing Kinsley.
Oh,
It's
okay.
fun. But anyway, so
Yeah, I got it.
you
It's
were
just
able to get it.
it's the Creative Arts Commission.
Right.
And no, they gave they it wasn't building specific. The building owner had to want to do
Run
it.
it, yeah.
And she didn't, and just like me, she didn't know how it was going to go. And I remember a few weeks before we were coming out here, she's like, "Do you have anything to show me? I want to see what it is." And David had been very busy, where he's always working on murals, so he sent us a sketch. And it was just so fascinating, just the sketch alone. The sketch is really maybe 20% of that.
Oh yeah.
This is just amazing. I
Yeah,
mean,
it is.
I'm just
And the
really,
town will be very pleased. And
I'm overwhelmed.
I agree with the Kansas Art Industry. I say Kansas Creative Arts Industry Commission is
Oh,
their full name.
okay.
That it can change a town, you know, all the attitudes in a
Who
town.
knew that that could be the case? We did a meet and greet last Friday. The town came, and I set up a I borrowed a PA from the high school, and set it up on the painting scaffold and played some songs, and there were folding chairs, and I saw all these people from my past life. It was just like a this is your life thing, you know? It was and. Everyone there was so overjoyed that it was happening. So you're right. Whatever effect it has, it's certainly a positive effect.
I think they're overjoyed because of you, but also it makes the town look better. It's there's a it's more pride.
It's pride. And so that's, I'm really, really, as the sort of the, to close the answer of how it changed my life, that's how this project has really changed my life. I'm surprised by it. My friends of mine are like, just go with it. You're overthinking it. Your life's being changed. Why don't you just be happy about it? So I'm going to be going back. When I go to New York in a few weeks, I'm going to feel very, confident this time about this like third or fourth move to New York.
Well, I'm trying to think here. I don't know how much time you have. My interviews sometimes go 2 hours,
Oh,
but
I could talk all day. I can do another 20 minutes or so.
so you're going back to New York. Well, first of all, where has your singing taken you? All over the United States, Europe?
Well, not it's not as far as most folks. I haven't toured the world or anything. But I early on, I had some had success in the early 90s. In 94, was my big song. And so I toured the country several times, and then went to Holland and Germany and England, really, just a few countries. But wouldn't have gone without music taking me there. And there was sort of a fallow period there in the early 2000s when I got married and just wasn't really, didn't know what I was going to do.
What are you going to do now when you go back to New York? Do you have gigs lined up?
I have a lot of gigs lined up. Yeah, and I have a weekly gig, a lot of gigs lined up, and I have songwriting royalties, luckily, that come in that are my sort of, that's my income. If I didn't have that, I'd be, painting houses, I guess. So I thank my songs for that they've given me a certain minimal amount of income
And you seem
every
to
year.
prefer a small venue for your, or not,
Oh, you mean for
for your
concerts?
per, yeah, concerts.
Well, I don't know. What do I prefer?
Oh,
I think,
is this
no,
what you?
honestly, I think every, just, no, I'm not trying to be funny at all. Honestly, every musician wants to be a big star. And you just play where you can. I've played a lot of big venues, often opening up for people, and often, I've played really great places myself, too. But, I'm not making $1 million. And I couldn't really, oh. But that's not that doesn't really matter because I'm still doing it and I'm making a new record. I'm working on a new album and I just put a record out 2 years ago. And I mean, life's just okay. I'm not in a bad marriage or in a bad divorce or anything like that.
And you're not broke.
And I'm not broke and I'm healthy. And now this happens. Now the mural comes into my life and just really. I don't know what it's like. It's just like a knock in the head in a good way.
Yeah.
And so that's
Very happy for
where I
you.
stand. Well, thank you, Joan. I am rebonded to this town now in a way that I really want to pay attention to. Like they've already invited me to come back and play the homecoming dance on October 4th in downtown, which is kind of a big deal, honestly. It's like I've got to get a van somehow and fly out here and so forth. But I'm happy to do it. And then I want to play then next summer or something, and I want to come out every year. I definitely want to keep doing that. I'm not 20 years old anymore, so I want to do this while I can. And also the mural has the other life-changing element of it is the mural inspired my friends Michael Ferraro and Colin Davis and Kim Bledsoe to make a documentary about me, about my life. And that's been very, very emotional and yet very joyful too. We've been doing interviews in the Kinsey High School auditorium, and just out of the blue, another serendipitous thing. Jeff Atwood decided to come out one day, and it's a day that we were filming the auditorium, and he pulled up, and we played Sparky the Heroic Dog, our first song we wrote together, for the first time in 45 years on that stage, and that was pretty. And it was filmed by a real film crew, and I was like, man, oh man, that's gonna look cool. So the documentary will be a positive thing. Well, it'll be positive for me, honestly, but it's really going to be positive for the town because the footage that Colin is shooting in from Felsberg to here is just so beautiful. And it's just going to be a fascinatingly beautiful group of images, I think. He's doing a lot of he loves the sky and the land and it's all the images of the flatness, basically,
Yeah, I saw one of your lines. I may steal it sometime. What was it? Bob Horizons from an interview.
Those things haunt me, those interviews.
Oh, this was cool. This was just so nice. We will find it. It said, "Was it? Was it from a song?" I don't think. I'll see. Oh, yeah, I'm not gonna waste my time finding it. But anyways, he talked about the horizons. That's a cool quote.
Okay.
Very poetic. Which songwriting? And it wasn't from a song though, it was from an interview, I think. Well, let's see. What else would you like to record for posterity here? You're gonna have a whole documentary, so
Well, yeah, but
but if there's
I don't
other
know. I don't know what I'd say. Well, first of all, I'm really intrigued and excited to hear more about the town when I read your book that we were discussing, because I realize there's a lot about this town that I didn't know. And so I'm kind of excited to learn more about my town because I am rebonded to my town now. Of course I am. I'm going to be buried here. I want to be bonded to it, and I want to be buried up near my mother. So, heck yeah, I want to know more about my town. And I didn't realize there was that much to know.
There's a lot to know. I thought another thought when you're talking about coming back next summer with Caitlin and being the connection we have through the scholarship, how about offering some kind of a guitar workshop for some kids?
Well, sure,
Wouldn't that be fun?
that's a very good idea. I tried to reach out. I mean, really did try to reach out to local musicians and band student musicians to sort of. I wanted to do something like that. I wanted to find some kid and jam with him, but I
We've got
couldn't
one in
find any.
Overly
Well,
that.
there's Mike Benesch, who's an older guy. He's
No, this is a
my.
kid.
Oh, okay. But see, I'm leaving in 2 days. Now it's too
No,
late.
he's too late now. But
But when I come back, or in October when I come back.
he's taking guitar online from somebody, and he went and met him, and we had a little vaudeville show last summer in summer reading, and he performed, and he's good.
And he's a musician, or is it, is, or,
Guitar.
yeah. Oh, that's great. So I
So
wanted to
sweet.
find that person and play with them on camera, but we never did find them in time. But and the band, I don't want to say it on mic, but I mean, there wasn't a band teacher. They just got a new one, I guess. So we didn't know how to find any kids in town. I know they're there. I mean,
Well, this kid is good, and I think this is where he may want to go,
I would love to meet him,
but
you know.
and I think what grade he's in.
And hopefully I can in October then, you know. Because I am going to be bringing out as many musicians as I know from LA and New York and Portland, conning them in to come to Kansas on their own dime to do the homecoming. Because I have a friend who produced my big record, and he Butch Vig, and he's from a small town in Wisconsin called Viroqua, and he really loves his town and boosts it and you know has the same feeling toward it.
Well, will they hold up the documentary to put that concert on or not?
Well, no, the concert's coming in October. The documentary will be about a year.
Oh, okay. So that you could have footage in the or not
Oh, the
of
footage.
the
Oh
concert.
no, they're gonna do some footage for the of that. Yeah, that's gonna be in the documentary. Absolutely. Not gonna miss that. Playing homecoming. Heck yeah. I'm really happy about it. I know it's sort of a, honestly, it's like, oh gosh, I was gonna go somewhere that week and but it's like, doesn't matter. I'm going to Kinsley. I'm really honored about it. And it was funny, Jeff Atwood said, how are you going to entertain those kids? They're like 17. No, it wasn't Jeff who said that. I'm sorry. Someone else asked me, how are you going to entertain those kids? I'm like, don't worry about it. You know, classic rock is still kind of current. And if kids see a musician playing, they're entertained, you know. So I'm really looking forward to that.